Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 169. Rabbi Tursky, in his book, I've Got to Get Out of My Own Way, or I've Got to Get Out of My Way, discusses a lot about personal aspects of himself that he spoke about, I think, many times. And here was one of them where he himself recognized the hard way that he also did not have a valid concept of self for a very long time. And he came to that realization when he was already a medical director of a huge acute treatment psychiatric hospital with an emergency room that served a population of several million. And his day was very, very hectic. And his nights were very, very hectic. He said even on a good night, he was woken up at least six times. He says that during that tkufa and in general, he had a problem of having chronic lower back pain that millions of people have. And he was recommended to go to the mineral baths in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where they're able to heal such things. And he thought that's a mishigas. But when vacation time arrived, he wanted rest without any type of activity or sightseeing and fishing, just resting in a quiet room, listening to music, and being away of action, enjoying things. And he didn't want to be active in any way, so he decided he'll go to these hot springs. And when he was there, he took advantage of that cure that they said would cure him. And he was in a hot whirlpool, and in the beginning he felt great. He didn't have to deal with the patients or families or doctors or nurses or social workers or lawyers or probation officers, and he's undisturbed, and he was felt great for about 5 minutes and said, this is what I need. And he got up, and the attendant said, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm going to whatever comes next. Attendant said, no, you have to be in this treatment at least 25 minutes. Okay, so he went back in, and it changed. It wasn't enjoyable anymore. And he tried to get up again. I got to get out of here. He says, okay, but it's for the treatment. So he went back in, and it was Gehenna, he said. The paradise turned into Gehenna. And later that day, he realized he had a rude awakening. He was under the unrelentless pressure and stress of the hospital for 3 years. And that he was able to take, but to tolerate this paradise of being in the whirlpool for an extra 8 minutes, that he couldn't take. So, and he thought to himself that, you know, he was seeking relaxation, but his concept of relaxation was not accurate. Most people, when they relax, what do? They look at something they used to like, you know, when they were chilling in the past, whether it's reading a book, watching a movie, playing golf, listening to music, watching a ball game, playing. These are actually diversions. It removes one's attention from oneself to focus on a book or golf or to television. And what you're doing is you're diverting attention from everything, including yourself. And then he realized that when he was in that small whirlpool, he did not have any of these diversions. He had nothing to read, nothing to look at, nothing, nobody to talk to, nothing to listen to, nothing to do. And there was nothing to divert his attention from the environment he was in. And he was left alone with himself. There was nothing to hold him back, to divert him from himself. And he said, the feeling of that is, let's say you're left in a room with someone you really, really dislike tremendously. It's not a good feeling. And he realized that his uncomfortableness, being alone in the whirlpool, is he couldn't tolerate being in his own presence. And he realized that he must have had an intense dislike of himself. Then I admire him for acknowledging this, even after he already became a head of a hospital. It's not like when he was in his young 20s. This is much later. And he went to psychologists when he came home, confirmed this conclusion, and recognized it was true. The image he had of himself was someone that was not likable. Now, he asked himself, what exactly is, what's making me unlikable to myself? And he realized he had an opinion of himself. This is the way he puts it in the book. I'm quoting, "A bit of soul searching revealed that I had an opinion of myself that was quite disgusting. I never realized that I thought so poorly of myself. And the whirlpool was the first time I had been directly confronted with myself." I mean, the busyness of life did not allow him to acknowledge that until that point. He came to realize that somehow in early childhood he developed a distorted self-concept. He had a self, but not a valid self. And then here, listen to this, for over 3 decades, he had managed to run away from this self in many, many ways. "I was self-conscious the same way one is conscious of a painful pimple on one's nose." In other words, his self was not a pleasant thing. And he remembered things that seemed to enforce this. He remembered, for example, in grade school, the children went for recess, they all played games, and he walked alone in the playground. He wanted to play with the other kids, but had a fear or a conviction that if he asked to join them, they would say, "Get away, we don't want you." He had no idea why he felt that way about himself, but he remembered the fear of being rejected. And the only way to avoid rejection was to stay away from others. Now, as he grew older, he was forced to interact with people. But still feeling rejection, he resorted to all kinds of favors for people in the hope that this would make him more likable. So now, Zabotursky is acknowledging, because of his lack of self-esteem and his fear of rejection, of other people rejecting him, he became a people pleaser. And then he realized, and this is the title of this book, he realized I had to get out of my own way. And he thought to himself, why did I think myself to be so despicable? And he realized he made mistakes about his assessment of himself. And over time, he was able to dispel those misconceptions. But those misconceptions were in him for over 30 years. So anyone here listening that's even, you know, 50 plus and older, this is the human condition, especially if you're younger. And not to be broken by it, by recognizing, hey, I need to realize who I am and change. At the time he made this discovery, he was already a practicing psychiatrist. And then he realized, I'm not the only person this way. So many other people also must have a negative self-image that makes them self-conscious. And he decided part of his job is to help people get out of their own way. And what happened to him is that's why he wrote this book. What is our own way and how to get out of our own way in order to live a more happy, thriving life. And you learn a lot from, he said, from the alcoholics that he treated, that he realized that what they were is they were self-destructive, but they stubbornly refused to consider that they were self-destructive. Their delusion was stronger than their reality. Nothing could change their mind. And in alcoholism, the only way to shake somebody loose from recognizing the reality is to hit this rock bottom that he's so devastated that it breaks through one's own denial. And he brings down, fascinating, that you see this ability of a person to delude himself is so strong that you really need a lot of siyata d'shamaya and inner courage to break through and see that bad pattern so you can grow. Because it says in the Torah, he says, you know, Re'ein asati lafnecha hayoim, I'm placing before you today, as a chayim v'es atoyi, the good, life and good, v'es amavis as hara, and the death and evil. And he calls upon heaven and earth And he placed Chaim Vamavis Nasati Fnecha Abracha Vaklala Uvacharta Bachayim. Choose life. Question again is, it makes no sense. They were 40 years in the Midbar, Moshe teaching them. You have to tell them to choose life and blessing and not choose death and curse. They were wise. They knew the whole Torah. They were considered the Dardeya. They were the wisest generation in Jewish history. And they had to be instructed, you know, choose life and blessing. Don't choose death and curse. How does that make any sense? And Shlomo HaMelech says, and he's quoting in English, I don't have a Mishle in front of me to quote Hebrew properly, each way of a person is right in his own eyes. That's Mishle Perek Chav Aleph, Pasuk Beis. And then it says even further in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Beis, all the ways of a person are pure in his eyes. Pure, not just right, but pure. My way is Kadosh, my way is Tar. Not only does he think his desires are right, he thinks they're pure. They're not blemished at all. And then later, in paraphrasing in Mishle Chavav Yud Beis, that if you see a person who is wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. A fool lacks wisdom, but at least he doesn't think he's the smartest person in the world. But this quote-unquote wise person thinks himself so wise. And because he thinks of himself so wisely, he won't ask other people advice. Then Shlomo HaMelech explained also how based on the Torah, you know, based on Shlomo's life, how bribery blinds the eyes of the wise. And it twists the words of the righteous. So bribe will blind you from seeing the truth. It will warp your thinking. It'll give you distorted thinking to the point where you see and you mamish think that ra is toif, that evil is good. Shlomo spoke from experience, right? The Torah said every king should not add wives beyond a certain measure because they may mislead him. And Shlomo, being the wisest of men, believed, I could do it and I won't be influenced. But he did it and he fell. And his wives influenced him because the wisdom of the Torah is superior than the greatest human wisdom. And despite all of his human wisdom, Shlomo HaMelech, and even the wisdom that was given to him by Hashem, that extra siyata d'shmaya, but when he relied on his own seichel, he was influenced by his wives and he fell. This is the Yetzirah. This is his power. In order that we have Bechira, Hashem made the forces of good and evil equal, and the forces of evil are strong. He said, "Volbinos chalti shoyin," in Mishlei Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey. Don't rely on your own understanding. And that's why, asei lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver, make someone a teacher, acquire a friend. Why? Because you need that to remove the biases that you have when you are blinded. And Moshe was well aware that even teaching 40 years to Klal Yisrael, it could still fail to impress them. And your refusal to accept my teachings will give way that you'll, you know, basically the only way you'll be able to get back to yourself is when you, Hashem will spread you out and then you will return to Hashem and hear his voice. Basically, if you look at the end of Devarim from Perek Lamed onward, Shlomo is basically saying the rock bottom phenomenon. But tzar lecha mitzvucha, you know, when you're in Golis and you wake up in Golis, oh my. What I do, how far I have I strained? That's when you wake up. And we have to learn how to taka, really, really work through this. He brings a story, I'm not going to get into it now, but basically a drunk that's so drunk that when he woke up, his wife left him. And his child or children, you know, with his children, they went to the in-laws, he called them. And what happened in the house, it was a whole wreck. He didn't even remember anything. And his wife over the phone said, you don't remember, you were drunk and went crazy, you were breaking things. And he did not believe her because he didn't remember it. And then his 10-year-old daughter over the phone told him, I was afraid you were going to kill mommy. You're actually literally going to kill her. And he went ran to his in-laws and cried and tried to ask forgiveness. And wife says, nothing doing until you actually go to the alcohol treatment center and you get yourself fixed up. And he said, I can't do that. I have a position in the bank, reputation. I can't. And even the minister, he went to a minister. He says, it's a rabbi here. You know, he did tshuva. He recognized his problem. He'll never drink again. Don't break up the family. She relented. He came back. Kept his promise for about 2-3 weeks. Then drank a little bit. And then he was back to his heavy drinking. Because, again, they can't get out of their own way. And we have to learn that we can't get out of our own way except through introspection, doing the right thing, recognizing our problems, turning to Hashem to help us with all of this. Bracha and Hatzlacha.